Grace and peace to the household of faith. Amen. Thank God. Thank God for everyone that's here. Thank God for even those that may be on their way. How many know time is moving on? In the essence of time, hallelujah, time is moving on. And each moment that we live, church, each second that a breath that God gives us, it's 1 second closer to that time where we all be caught up. Hallelujah. And somebody say, but that's a long time. But understand, each time that God gives, each day He gives you, you're 1 step closer. Hallelujah. No more. Can you imagine? No more problems, no more heartache, no more tests, no more trials. In the essence, none of that. But we can live spiritually. We can still live in that plane in terms of knowing that He controls all things. That in spite of what we're going through now, He's still in control. Repeat after me. I thank God for salvation.
I thank God for the mystery.
The volume of truth that was given to the Apostle Paul for the Grace Church. I thank God that everything that has happened to me now has already happened. I thank God that I purpose to walk in the light that is revealed in the grace in the grace contract. Let's get them on the hand. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. Let everyone pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord. Oh God, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Father, we thank you for your goodness, kindness, and love and mercy. Oh God, we thank you for the truth of your word. Oh God, we thank you for being so good to us, Father, for giving us the glorious truth of who we are in Christ. And Father, I thank you, Lord. Father, we ask that the word of God will go forth unhindered. Oh God, let me decrease that Christ may increase. Oh God, breathe upon everyone here according to your will, Father. Whatever the situation, whatever the problem, oh God, we ask that you will help us see it from the eternal view of our position in Christ. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. We ask that you would just have your way, Lord. Breathe upon this service according to your will, plan, and purpose. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. All right, we're going to go right into the scriptures for time's sake. Now, we're going to look at two parallel scriptures today. Amen. Two parallel scriptures, and we're going to read, first of all, we're going to go right into 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Who's our reader? Okay, Deacon Gavin's going to be our reader. We're going right into 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 7. I repeat, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 7. So you may want to just, read this, because we can again look at two parallel scriptures. And then the next one will be 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we'll be there. We're going to look at verse 1 through 3. So these are the two parallel scriptures that we'll be reading. Amen? All right, okay. I don't hear any pages turning, so I guess we can move on. All right. Let's begin. Let's go right into 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 7. We'll read the King James, and then I know most of you do not have the Greek interlinear. The pastor, I believe the day is going to come where everyone's going to have a Greek interlinear. Amen. So, but then we will read this in the interlinear. Also, for those that do not have the Greek test, just kind of listen, and we'll still get there. Amen? Amen. All right. Also, thank God for all the visitors today, and it's always just thank God for you. I'm excited.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And we can move on. Amen. All right.
We're reading from 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, beginning at the first verse, King James Version. Mm-hmm. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord.
First of all, now we know I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Now we know who's talking. This is the Spirit of God talking through the Apostle Paul. This is Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. In fact, I was looking at another scripture in another Bible, and it mentions the revelation of Jesus Christ. I mean, amen. Everything here is really the revelation of God. But it was that revelation that was either revealed to whoever God chose. But in our contract, it's that volume of truth that was revealed to the Apostle Paul for the Grace Church today. Amen? Keep going, Dave.
Verse 2. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven.
He was caught up. Revelations, visions. God showed this man something. Let's keep going.
And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise. And heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Mm-hmm. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities.
I will not glory, but in my infirmities. God showed him some awesome things for the body of Christ.
That's right. Yeah.
Then, on the same side, God, he also now talks about his infirmities. Keep going, D.
For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh.
Uh-huh.
The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure.
Unless I should be exalted above measure. How many of God has a purpose in everything? God showed the Apostle Paul some things that, in fact, I tell you, let's go right now to the Greek. Amen. We're going to look at, again, for those of you, we at the Grace Gospel Church, we every essence of scriptures, we look at the interlinear. What, in other words, what does the scripture say according to the Greek language? Because understand, historically speaking, you know, we all speak the English language today, but understand, when the Bible was written, go back 2,000 plus years ago, there was no such thing as the English language. In fact, if you compare the English language with most other languages, it's a fairly new language. It's about 500 years. So if you want to understand the true thought conveyance, what, in other words, when Jesus was walking the earth, early church, the dominant language was the Greek language. So now in the Greek, let's look at what the Greek is saying. The same verse, but we're going to look at this from the Greek text. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, D.
We're reading again 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, but from the interlineal Greek text. And by the excess of the revelations, mm-hmm. wherefore, lest I should be exceedingly uplifted, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, in order me that he might buffet me.
Okay, Nadine, I want you to go back for the interlinear. Go back to the verse, the first verse. 12:1 in the interlinear.
Second Corinthians 12:1, yeah. The interlinear Greek text.
Yes.
To boast, it behooves not expedient indeed. So I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Verse 2, I know a man in Christ before years 14. Whether in body, I know not, or outside the body, I know not. God knows. Caught such a one to third heaven, and I know such a.
Now let's start here. You heard it says caught. Now in the King James it says caught up to the third heaven. Now, you see where it says, now I think everyone has a King James Bible, where it has caught up. Who was caught up? Paul was caught up. Now, that word caught up is what we call an aorist participle that's in a passive voice. In other words, somebody said, well, when was he caught up? Oh, more than likely, let's look at history. When Paul was taken out of the city and stoned, somebody said, well, at that moment in time, he was caught up. Well, that's going to conflict with the aorist tense, because the aorist tense tells us it's a past completed action. Paul was caught up. What happened at that moment was only a manifestation of him being caught up by God's decree in eternity. So look at history now. Historically, where are we? When he was caught up, it's the passive voice meaning it was done to him. God caught him up, showed him some things more than likely, the body of Christ, who we are in Christ, the fact that we have always been saved, we are chosen by him before the foundation of the world, everything has always been. All right. God showed Paul these wonderful truths. Yes. Now, here's the key. Here's the key here. He was caught up. Aorist tense, past completed action. Now, if it was already done, let's look at this man in history to see some of the things that he was doing. Now, we don't have time, see, but understand now, by God's decree, he was already caught up. In the book of Acts chapter 7, well, we're not going to have time to do all the reading there, but just for your information, this is the account where Stephen is preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And Stephen preached this gospel so hard that the Jews got mad. And they were furious at the kingdom message. They got so mad that they gnashed on Stephen with their teeth. They cast him outside of the city and stoned him. How many of you know that? Somebody said he was stoned? Yes. You know what? He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the message that Jesus told him to preach, and he was stoned for that. In other words, he was stoned for preaching the truth. Now, I thought about this. If he was stoned for preaching the truth in the kingdom gospel, which is the gospel that Jesus told him to preach, and we have the grace gospel, which has a higher component of God's truth, if they gonna stone you in the kingdom, in fact, they even stole the prophets under the law. Now, somebody said, I may have been stoned, but you will be stoned spiritually. They'll be calling you everything else. You tell people that you were always saved by God's decree, they'll look at you as, wait a minute, is there a mental hospital around here somewhere? Do you need to take a day off from work? You tell people that everything that we see has already been. That the problem you had this year, next year, if you are breathing air, you're going to have some problems. You can't escape that. If you are breathing, you're going to have some problems. Now, I'm not a mind reader, but I can point to everyone here, and I know you're going through something. And somebody say, well, that explains me. It's the way me. Because I'm not going through nothing. Well, I say, Lord, we can bless, pray for brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so for not telling the truth. Because you didn't tell the truth. You're going through something, amen? But the key is this. He was going around persecuting the church, making havoc of the church, but even at that time, God saw Paul in his glorified position in Christ, suffering for the cause of Christ, writing 3/4 of the Bible. In spite of what he was going through, God saw him as who he was in Christ. God saw him already saved. God saw him already delivered. God saw him already, no matter what, like you see, God owns all of us. In spite of that rebellion, God saw Paul going on the road to Damascus, and God knocked him off that beast. And he said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? That did not just occur. It manifested then, but it was already decreed by God in eternity. So understand, what happens to, see what frustrates most of us is that we just, things that happen in our life, we just think all of a sudden it just comes. Come on. It just shows up.
Bring it out.
You know, oh man, whenever it happens, it just shows up.
Yeah, yeah.
done. It was manifested to you then. But it was decreed by God in eternity. Then see, when you understand this, then things begin to what? Clear up in time. Because if God has a purpose for your life, that purpose is going to manifest and ain't nobody going to stop it. Because God has already decreed it. Now you understand, most of you probably in your life, you probably know a situation where you probably, in this situation you went through, you probably should have been dead now. But you say, how did I get out of that? Because God's not finished with you. He has a purpose and plan for you. And someone else may go through the same thing and they check out of here. Because God, their course in their life, their course is for, as far as in the plane of God, their course has come to an end. And the only reason that you're here now is because God has a purpose for your life and it's not over yet. And when God's purpose is done, check out time. That's it. That's a liberating way to live. To know that there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Because what? God has everything in control. So in other words, in spite of Paul, in spite of what he was going through, he already saved, already elected. So no matter what problems, understand that God, we need to look at these situations that we have from the perspective of who we are in Christ. You're chosen, you're sanctified, you're elected, you're adopted. These things have always been. Because what? This is what God's plans for you. You see, when you understand this, you can live free to know that God is in control of all things. Now, look at this in another way. Will you rather, what's the best way to live? To see that the things that happen each day, not only in our life, but in our city, in our country, the things that are happening, either God controls it, or some outside force out there that nobody knows what's happening. What gives you more security? To know that everything happens for a purpose. Now I look at that oil spill. I say, you know what? The reason it was going on so many days is because that was part of God's plan. And I said, when God decides to cap it, it'll be capped. Amen. Myself being a school teacher, I mean, last year, teachers were in turmoil, couldn't sleep, all frustrated because the board was there. In April 2000, teachers got layoff notices. And they said, Lemon, why are you still so free and happy? Wait a minute. Whatever has happened is already decreed. Now, I retired you at first. Amen. But that was God's purpose anyway. Amen. It was done what, in eternity. Amen. So when you live this way, you don't understand that everything that you see has already been. Right. You know, I remember years ago when President Clinton was in the office, White House, the situation was going through there, and somebody tried to pin him up in the corner, and they, you know what people do, it's like, you know the Pharisees, when Jesus was preaching, teaching, they tried to pin him up in the corner and say, look, but Lord, what about this? Gee, what about this? And he always come back. Jesus came back with a question to locate them, to silence them out. But anyway, and I don't think the former president realized what he was saying, but it was so awesome. They asked him, okay, Mr. Clinton, so what is it? What is it? And he said, wait a minute. What is, it depends upon what is. And I realized, he said, man, he didn't realize it depends upon what is. And they were silenced because they didn't get it. And you know what? I think I write Clinton a letter of this, Clinton. I said, what he was saying now, I don't know what he realized. What is in eternity depends upon what is in time. What is by God's decree is going to manifest down here. So he said, it depends upon what is. I said, amen. So, looking at this, everything goes back to God's decree. The eternal, our eternal position in God gives us so much security. And everything begins with salvation. Because one thing I learned, Pastor, years ago, what you believe about salvation will radiate, will translate into every component of your life. If you are uncertain, if you are unsure about your salvation, you would be insecure about your marriage, your job, the kids, every facet of your life. we have some uncertainty. But if you are secure with your salvation, and what is the component of our salvation? We were chosen before the foundation of the world. God, I mean, how much simpler can you make it, the fact that we were chosen by Him, in Him, before creation? That you were, somebody say, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. It makes all the sense in the world if you look at it from our contract. To know that everything that is now has already been. I mean, even in the kingdom gospel, you know that account, one time Jesus, they were Jesus preaching, and he mentioned, and these Jews, they came to Jesus, and they said, well, you're not even 50 years old. And, you know, he mentioned Abraham, and see, they were looking at it from the natural, and they, Jesus said, Abraham, he said, before Abraham was, I am. They said, wait a minute, you're not 50. They were looking at it. In other words, historians of Jesus, they, you know, that most historians, when he died, he was like, what, 33, I believe. But they were saying, you ain't 50 years old. What do you mean you're before Abraham was, I am? He was looking at what, from the eternal viewpoint. Before time, I am because I've always been. That's it. I am because I've always been. But they couldn't get it. Now, this, what's the truth, these wonderful truths that we have about the contract, our grace contract, and the, you know, the nations, adoption, sanctification, propitiation, all of these wonderful truths we have, there's another side to our contract that most of God's people miss. Because the anchor, what anchors our contract, what anchors us into our contract, the mystery, is the law wall. We can get aspire, we should strive to what? Move forward in the deeper things of God. But notice, Paul says, unless I become exalted above measure, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh to buffet me. Because here, this man was what? Well educated. He was, you know, he had all this knowledge that God showed him some wonderful things. But then God gave him a thorn in the flesh, lest he be exalted above measure. And in the essence of this this knowledge that God gave him, and I thought, think about this. We just read that Paul was caught up. God showed him this visions and revelations that Deacon Gavin just read. Isn't it interesting that God showed this information to him in the most corner church? In the most church where all of bickering, fighting, everybody was vying for positions. Why didn't God show Paul? Now, God showed Paul some wonderful things, all his epistles. But this revelation of the body of Christ, more than likely, he showed it in an environment where they were fighting, bickering, everybody, all this confusion going on. One account, a man was probably going with his stepmother, you name it. They were going along with each other, they were going all this. So what Paul, God was telling Paul, look, this wonderful knowledge that you have about what, who you are in Christ, it has to be ministered with love. Because if you do not minister this contract with love, then that's what we can get into right now. Then you, it profits you nothing. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 right now, please. Amen. We can flip over 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 through 3. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 through 3. Notice, Paul just stated that God gave him wonderful, wonderful visions and wonderful revelations of the Lord. But he had all this wonderful information, this wonderful knowledge. But notice, still Paul here, still the writer, it was now being the Corinthian book, still for the Grace Church. Okay, Dave, let's begin. 1-3. King James, and then we'll do the Greek, okay?
We're reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning verse 1, King James Version. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal.
Mm-hmm.
And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing.
Okay, verse 3D.
And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing.
Okay, now we're going to come back to this next time I'm up, because for time's sake, we're not going to hit through all this today. But in essence, notice Paul says here, notice to the Corinthian church. See, God had to show Paul this, because what happened when God gave him all this wonderful knowledge, all this wonderful information, Paul got impatient at times. Paul was not going to suffer at times. Because the reason he wrote this, because he was writing this in the order for the future, the future members in the body of Christ, but he was also addressing this to himself. In other words, he's saying here, I can have all the knowledge of the mystery, all the knowledge of this wonderful, the knowledge of the dispensations, the knowledge of the verbs, all this wonderful information. But if I'm not sensitive to my brothers and sisters, right, he said that knowledge will profit me nothing.
Right.
In other words, love is the glue that holds our contract together. And if we have the attitude that, oh, bless God, you know, I'm this wonderful, thank God for knowledge. In fact, we had a Bible class Friday. Thank God for this wonderful knowledge. But if this not balanced with love, you'll be worse than a Pharisee. Now let's cooperate this again. Amen. You're kind of quiet here. Let's look at this further. Again, thank God for knowledge. But this information we have in our contract, we have to administer and have a foundation of love in order to, this is what the glue that's going to hold this, keep everything together. Amen. If not, what he said, I'll be a tinkling cymbal. I'm just run off at the mouth. Nothing's happening. And let's corroborate something here, because for cooperation, let's go to Luke chapter 10, verse 30-37. Everybody know this. See, everybody know this story. Everybody know you learned this in elementary Bible school. Amen. The Good Samaritan here. Luke 10, chapter 30-37. Okay, did you read it?
Yes.
Okay, again, Luke chapter 10, verse 30-37. You may begin, D.
Reading from Luke chapter 10, verse 30, King James Version. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead.
Okay?
And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise the Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. And set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, go and do likewise.
Now, notice, with the light that they had, church, at this time, they were under, you remember one thing about, one thing I learned in Bible class years ago, Pastor, whenever you read the scripture, understand, where are you in history? This, the fact that this is Luke, they were under the law with the prophecy of the kingdom. They were in kingdom law. Now it's interesting here, that in this verse, a certain man went down from Jerusalem. Now, he went down from Jerusalem. Now how many know at this time, historically, Jerusalem was the headquarters where the law was being taught and preached. So more than likely they were coming from the synagogue. All of this knowledge. It says they were coming down from Jerusalem. Coming down, and here this man was wounded. And in essence, it's the Levite, and also the priest. It tells you these are religious people. Came down from hearing all this wonderful news of the law of Moses. And when the man was wounded and bruised, they went right by them. And here comes a Samaritan. By the way, he was not a full Jew. He was not a full Jew. But he had compassion on him. Here are the religious people. And I'm sure the human nature, we heard from the law of Moses. We got to get this law, you know. And they were insensitive to what the things that were around them. Let's cooperate one more time. And then we'll go back to one more scripture. Let's go right now to Matthew 23:23, real quick. 23:23. This cooperation, amen? You know, I started our gospel, right? But we're just going to cooperate two things here again. 23 through 24. Okay, ready? I believe we have everyone ready. Okay.
We're reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 23, beginning at the 23rd verse.
Mm-hmm.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith.
Mm-hmm.
These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone.
Mm-hmm.
Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel.
They strain at a gnat. In other words, they were so consumed with the letter of the law that they forgot mercy, judgment. In other words, they were so consumed with the letter of the law they were so consumed with whether a donkey crossed the street on the Sabbath. By the way, you know, no one can keep the law anyway, right? But thank God, this is just cooperation to see that our contract goes deeper. Because once you understand what the love of God is, because what? The love that God has for us, and the fact that you are saved in eternity is only because God loves you in eternity. The fact that you are sanctified, adopted, righteous, everything that God gave you as members in his glorious body, it was all motivated by the love of God that God has for you. And somebody say, but if God loved me, why this happened to me? Why this? See, it goes back to what purpose? That everything's happening for everything. God is not haphazard. You see what happens? Our cogitation of God, many times, because the way we operate in our life, sometimes we get up, we've all been there, you get up, we just what? Do things haphazardly. Right? In other words, but God is a God of order and structure, and every iota of God's work is motivated by purpose. So, in essence, thank God for knowledge, and thank God for wisdom and understanding. But this, the knowledge that we have in terms of who we are, what God has done for us, it has to be the love, it has to be the energy that drives our contract. And by the way, we're not by no means. See, somebody say, oh, you're minimizing, going deep in knowledge. See, understand what I'm saying. I told Pastor your friend, I'm amazed about this matrix. Hey, with the help of the Lord, and I'm not planning, the help of the Lord goes deeper in the matrix. But for me, so deep in the matrix. And here, it's like this, I'm giving an example, okay. Let's say I'm using an example. I'm sitting down with Pastor, we were sitting down 2 hours, understand, looking at this matrix and oh, this is wonderful. And here I'm driving, you know, the way I go home a lot of times, I drive right by Providence Hospital. And I'm absorbing this wonderful knowledge. And somebody say, brother, never mind, there's a brother that's in the hospital, he's going through, and I ain't got time, I gotta focus on, I ain't got time to go there, I gotta focus on this matrix. You see how and somebody said, why do people do these things? We ought to breathe. And God has a way of what? Bringing us back to what? To who we are. So, by the way, there's no condemnation to those in Christ. But in essence, of everything that Paul wrote, he also mentions the love. He mentions names, the love, and the unity that he desires in the body of Christ. In essence of who we are, what God has done for us. Amen? And the way, the essence, the motivating factor that keep everything together, whatever the scripture is saying, many times people read the scripture, and what happened? It's not what they think it says.
All right, come on.
In other words, you can read the scripture about salvation, and you can just throw something, just read something from the Bible, and not doing the, let's say, for example, there are three things that before you come up with a conclusion, God's word.
Right.
There are three things that you need to analyze.
Right.
What is the historical component?
Amen.
Based on what I read, what is the historical component?
Amen.
After you do that, number two, what is the contextual, the context of what is being said?
That's right.
And number three, what is the grammar? If you do understand this, then you'll find everything will line up because the veracity of truth is consistency.
Amen.
The word of God is consistent. And you've heard people say, oh, the Bible contradicts itself. They only say that because they have not what? Been a student of God's word and been a student to understand what is God saying. See, you can what? Just grab something out of the scripture
right. And
run with it.
Take off.
Now, for example, the scripture we had, by the way, my good Lord's sister-in-law, Aunt Frankie, passed away, and they had a funeral yesterday. And during the funeral, by the way, the pastor preached a good message. Amen. He preached on, to mean to live is Christ and to die is gain. He did it. He preached a good message. But here's the essence of what I noticed. When the speakers were coming up, they had the pulpit where I am, for the men's speaker. And then they had another pulpit down there for the women. And so I thought about it, you know, the scripture they use, they grab something out. Oh, women should keep silent in the church. Take that one scripture and run with it. And not looking at what was Paul saying. Then they say, Paul, I don't think, oh, Paul was against women preachers. Well, if that's the case, if Paul was against women preachers, for example, I believe, I haven't seen the schedule, but I believe Sister Karen's coming up next Sunday here. So, this is 100 praise of God is against you because women should keep silence in the church. That's according to that, right? And my dear friend, Sister Ruth, Sister Ruth's grandmother was a pastor. So, according to what? Man's tradition. That she was out of the will of God. No, he didn't say that. What he said, let's look at this historical component. I'm dead. I mentioned this Friday. When he made this statement, what are we in history? First of all, understand historically, there was a transition period from the kingdom church to the grace church. And still, if you look at history, by and large, at that time, women were still basically uneducated. So when they were, even at that time, they had a demarcation between what the men said and what the women said. So thank God through the knowledge of God's what? The knowledge of our contract, I've got to take care of that situation. But at that time when Paul said that, it's not necessarily Paul is in the church preaching, teaching for our contract, and a lot of women jumping up because they want to educate and saying, what did he say? What did he say? And call the law. You know, you've been there. In fact, that's one of the main things you ask even my kids when I'm teaching, my years of teaching. One of the things that caused me to turn another color is when I was speaking, trying to give some instructions, and some guy was there running his mouth, almost wondering what I'm saying. You listen to what I'm saying, but they're running their mouth. So Paul said, women, you keep silence in the church. for that reason, because he will interfere with the service. He didn't say what? That would validate everything he said when he mentioned what? There's neither male nor female. We are all one in Christ Jesus. So in essence, so now, even yesterday at the funeral, the women were still, I thought about this, even though they put the pulled him down there, Pastor, but wait a minute, they were still speaking. So you see how religious, wait a minute, whether you're speaking of here or down there, you're still speaking in the church. But religion will mess you up. Because what happens, you try to come up with something to call the nonsense you had before. But if you just stay in our gospel, you won't be what? All confused, just grabbing something. It is dangerous to read this word and just grab something and run with it. Even in the natural arena, we had an account this past few days ago here. Shirley Sharon made a statement, and some blogger just pulled this out of context, put it on the internet, and it went worldwide, caused all kind of confusion. Now, that's going to cause confusion in the what? The natural. How much more spiritually confused it would be if people do not, what? Divide the word of God.
Right. Amen.
You hear things, women? Jesus said, yes, go and what? Preach and be what? In love. And they take these scriptures and beat people over the head, not in love, and try to dominate people.
Amen.
For years, I was told I wasn't baptized a certain way. You know what? I wasn't saved. Years. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Jesus said it. Yes, Jesus did say that.
Yes.
But historically, what are you?
Yes.
But he mentioned Matthew, Mark, and Luke. You're in the kingdom gospel. And when you're in the kingdom gospel, yes, there was water baptism. There was tongues in the kingdom contract. But now, in our contract, I got to go there. Let's go to here. Go there, because we have to do this, but if everything is ministered in love, then it takes care of all the things. Here, go over there where, this wasn't in my notes, but we'll do it real quick. Go over there where it says, Christ sent me not to baptize. Consistency. I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I believe. Christ sent me not to baptize. Okay. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's read verse 10 through 16 real quick.
In the first chapter, beginning at the 10th verse.
Mm-hmm.
Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you.
Wait a minute, divisions. Why would, ask yourself a question. Why were there divisions in his church? No, notice here, remember we missed Corinthians? It starts out with Paul getting all this wonderful knowledge on the Lord, about the Lord. Then he goes, it has to be done in love. And here was one of the problems that occurred in this church, because they were not ministered, they were not walking in love, and Paul had to deal with this. And one area that caused a lot of confusion was baptism. Because understand, in Jesus' ministry, the kingdom church, those were the marching orders. Baptism was the matter. That was their what? Contract. Real quick, D. Come on.
All right. But that ye be perfectly joined together, in the same mind and in the same judgment.
Uh-huh.
Verse 11. For it had been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul.
I am of Paul. You know what it is? I am of Paul. Oh, people tell you right now, I am of so-and-so. I am of the bishop. I am of the priest. Oh, that's my identification. See, it's nothing new, is it? Keep going.
And I of Apollo.
I of Apollos, right?
And I of Cephas. And I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?
Were you baptized in the name of Paul, huh?
I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other.
Any other.
For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel.
Read that one more time, Dean.
For Christ sent me not to baptize.
Christ sent me not to baptize.
But to preach the gospel.
One more time.
Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel.
I want everyone to hold your, put your finger here. Go to Matthew real quick. Matthew chapter 28. And let's see what Jesus, by the way, most of you have this read in the Bible. If it's read, you know Jesus is saying, and everything that Jesus said is true. Why? He was God, the Son of God, God in the flesh. So you know everything that Jesus said is true, right? According to, read verse 18. Verse 18.
I'm reading from Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Well, let's stop here and let's come up with this conclusion. Now, Jesus told them, go and baptize. He told Peter, James, John, Matthew, he said, go and baptize. Then Paul says, hear me, that's right, Christ sent me not to baptize. One say, go baptize. The other say, he sent me not to baptize. That is why people come up with this connotation, the Bible contradicts itself. No, it does. If you follow what the Lord said, told Timothy, rightly divide the word of God. In the kingdom gospel, that gospel that Jesus told what? The disciples to preach. Yes, baptism was in order. But now, in the grace gospel, that Paul received some different instructions because the Bible says, read it first in Ephesians, that a whole new dispensation was committed unto the Apostle Paul. And in that dispensation, we have a signless covenant. We walk by faith and not by sight. And anything that focuses in on visions and sight and things that you can see is what? It's not written upon our contract. So Paul said, he sent me not to baptize. Paul wasn't minimizing baptism, but what he was saying was that for the Grace Church, we are all baptized. And by the word baptism, the key word, baptism means identification. That's the key word. In other words, by the way, if you go to the law, there were many baptisms. When you got a house, they baptized your house. They washed the clothes. There were many baptisms. The key word for baptism is what? Identification. So when they were identified as the Commonwealth of Israel, they were baptized. In our contract, when we as members in the body of Christ, what? We are baptized, what? Identified by a spiritual baptism of being placed in the body of Christ. Our baptism goes back to eternity. When we were saved, we were baptized. When we were adopted, we were baptized. When we were sanctified, we were baptized. When we were sonship, we are baptized. Everything that God has done, the workings of God, it's all about you being saved in eternity. If you were saved in eternity, you were baptized in eternity. And now there's no one conflict because you have a line of demarcation between what? The old covenant, the kingdom gospel, and the grace gospel. And you have to divide those covenants, you have to divide those contrasts, and if you do not divide them, you will be confused. And that is why we have so many, quote, denominations. Amen. When you go to the bank, and you have your $100, and you tell the bank teller, I want these in maybe 5, 10 denominations. Now, what would they do? They divide those. They ask you how many fives do you want, how many tens. In other words, denominations. What denominations, what they have divided the body of Christ, because they take the Bible as what? One book, and try to come up with some things, the truth for the church. No, our direction, the direction for the Grace Church, the Grace Covenant, is the gospel of the grace of God. That is our contract, and anything that does not align with our contract is in the Bible. Everything is written what? Everything is written for you, but everything was not written to you. In other words, you need to read your mail. And what is your mail? Those 14 epistles that was written by the Apostle Paul to the Grace Church. Because everything may not be written to you. Just last week, you know, sometimes, I'm sure it happened to most of us. I was coming home, and it was one of my neighbors. They had, the post made a mistake and put their mail in my mailbox. When I saw this, I know it could have been $1,000 in the mail, but guess what? I took it and I went across the street and I said, Mr. Pittman, I'm sorry, but this is your mail. It wasn't my mail. So I gave him his mail.
Amen.
And if it was $1,000, whatever, it wasn't my mail. Your mail is what? The grace contract, that volume of truth that was given to the Apostle Paul for the Grace Church. Now, what I need to say in part two is going to take me about 20 minutes, but because I don't have the time, I'm going to sit down. I'm leaving. I'll give myself 5 minutes. I'm 5 minutes early. God bless.